Wow. Well, sit down if you can for a moment. A little Super Sunday action tonight. Yeah, it's a little Holy Ghost getting loose. Nothing wrong with that. I want to talk to you today because we're going to deal with the letter, 1 Peter. So if you got your Bibles, you want to go and turn there. We're going to begin to look at the reality of Jesus as the center of everything that we do. The reality of Jesus Christ becomes the center of everything that we do. Christ is our everything. And I really want to talk to you because part of my frustration is how in the world do we walk Jesus out in the American culture is a difficult thing. And at Hillview here, we're really going to work on and continue to work on keeping Jesus Christ as the centerpiece. Now, conceptually, guess what? Most of you that have grown up in the church, you'd go, yeah, Jesus is the center of everything. Man, that's right. That sounds right, doesn't it? But I'm talking, Jesus just can't be conceptually in the center. Jesus has got to be the center. I'm going to tell you now, but you better hear me. We got to really make sure in our congregation that we don't let other things replace what only Jesus can do. Now, and you can do that with a good heart. I think we got a lot of churches, they don't know they're doing that. But they slide into it because, listen, I'm going to blow you away. When we start dealing with Jesus, and what does it mean to really allow Jesus Christ to come into our lives? And how does Jesus Christ begin to shape our lives and change our lives? I'm going to tell you, this is a real deal because here's where it's so tough. It's not about you. It's not about me. The human being is not the center point of the faith.
You say, well, wow.
But see, we don't believe that. Especially in the modern church. You know how many sermons I've heard about human stress? It's not even in the Bible. Tell me where it is in the Bible. It's not there. Now, it's a baby boomer thing, and it's a yuppie thing. We're the only church that's got enough money to even preach a sermon on that. In America, we're the only people that have enough time to sit around and analyze everything that's going on. That only preaches in America. That doesn't preach to 75% of the other world, because guess what? The other world's worried about getting some food today. They're worried about finding a place to sleep today. They're praising God because they got food and sleep. They're not asking what kind of food. They're just celebrating that God has provided. We're the only nation that has the privilege, or maybe the confusion, to sit around and worry about things that really don't matter a lot. And so I really want us to embrace some things today. If Jesus is going to be the center of our lives, we live in God's full potential. Now, when you activate God's full potential, everything in what you used to be changes to everything you can be. See the switch? Young people, I hope y'all get it off the bat, man. I hope you all live full bore lives, full and abundant lives to the hilt in Jesus Christ from the get-go. I mean, that's a possibility you got today. Right now, your all's testimony can be this. Man, I set up from the beginning, and I've accelerated to great things in my life. This does not have to be your testimony. Well, I kind of started following Jesus, and then I made a bunch of stupid decisions, and I tore my life up, and then I came back to Jesus, and I got it back together. You don't have to be stupid. Say it with me. You don't have to be stupid. It's not a requirement. Everybody walks around like it's some requirement. Now, listen. How many of y'all have known somebody who's just done some stupid things? Now, what do they really want to take? Listen, I don't want these young people to limit their spiritual potential where I limited mine. Huh? I want them to live full bore. What about you guys? That ought to be our heart, because guess what? Jesus desires for you the fullness of His kingdom. What do you think about that? But He's got to stay center. I'm telling you, Jesus is not the center in a lot of our churches. That's why you got churches that'll close on Christmas. What was their reason for closing on Christmas? On the Sabbath. Don't inconvenience the people. Now, I'm not being mad. Look, I'm being gentle. I'm not ranting. But I want you to consider, when the people begin to become the center of the church, then how spiritual is the church? I'll tell you what, if y'all follow me, we're going to hell. And if I follow you, guess where I'll end up? Hell. Because the best you can do is modify my behavior for a moment. We'll get together and guild each other. That's called accountability groups. And see, that's what these spiritual accountability groups, that's what they are. Let's guilt each other into righteousness. See, it's a flesh-based kind of behavior modification process. It's modern psychology. Spirit says, I have had an encounter with a living God, and because of that encounter, my sins are forgiven. Something new has totally opened up in my life potential, and I will never be the same. I function because I love God, not because somebody's trying to modify me to fit in. In fact, you're going to find right now, guess what? Peter, who begins to write this letter, he was an apostle because he had had an encounter with God. And I really want to kind of up you guys on this. It's about experiencing God. And let me tell you the truth. Life's tough. Life's tough. If you get around these people who follow Jesus and tell you you're going to follow Jesus and things are going to be easy, you just got around a liar. That's bull. True? I do not have an easier earthly journey because I follow Jesus Christ. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, it's a little more difficult. But I have possibilities that are beyond earthly limitations. It's worth the difficulty. What do you think? About five of you said amen. The rest of you bought into this cheesy gospel, hadn't you? Mary Poppins gospel is what I call it. I'm going to follow Jesus, get my umbrella, and I'm not going to smoke or drink anymore, so everything's perfect in my life. That is unbiblical. Nowhere do I find that. Nowhere. The Apostle Paul had that experience after his conversion. What do you think, George? You're a rabbi, teacher of this word. Here's the miracle to me. God will go through the difficult times. It's not that the gospel creates easy times. It's that it has the truth and the absolute security to bring us through the hard times. Amen? How many of y'all glad to have a Jesus that said, I'm going to get up in you and my spirit is so rich, it will bring you through difficult time. Amen. Okay, you have a very godly mama. And I'm so glad that you and your mother found Jesus Christ. And she is in heaven now. Isn't it a lot easier to know where your mama is when she has to go away for a little while? And isn't it celebrated to know that some sweet day, in some moment, you will be there with your mother again? Compliments of Jesus Christ. Now that's a faith that'll get you through some difficult times. See the difference? Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Peter, a student. Not Peter, a learner. Not Peter, kind of on the fringe. Peter, an apostle. One who was saturated in what Jesus was doing. One who had heard from God and lived with God. Now listen, you want to up your testimony, start living with Christ. Amen? And here, I got some good news. Jesus is built for every day. How many of y'all are glad about that? You take him where you go, whether you want him to go or not. Did you get that, younger people? It's like, it kind of works like this on Friday night, you know, when the music gets soft, you kind of lean over a little bit. Guess who's still in the car? Ain't your mama. Jesus. And he's saying, wait a minute, why would I want you to have everything I've made for you? So don't be limiting things. How many of you have ever done this? You think if you just go ahead, it'll be better because it makes you feel better. Listen, I'm on something right here we all get conned by in this world. Our faith is not about feeling better. It's about being better. Big difference. There's a lot of stuff that will make you feel better that will kill you. Cocaine will make you feel better. It will kill you. Fried chicken. Come on. I mean, let me tell you, if I let myself go, I could eat like legs is what I like, chicken legs. But I could sit down and give me a 5-gallon bucket of chicken legs. I could eat every one of them, love every one of them. The more, the deeper they're fried, the more I love them. Now, what's going to happen to me if I do that night after night after night? I'm going to die. Because eventually my arteries are going to go, we can't get to these chicken legs no more. And if I'm laying up in a hospital, there's no use for me to act like it's a mystery. I wonder why I'm dying. With chicken buckets laying all around my bed. Huh? God wants to bring us to life. Look what he said. I want you to really get this today, folks. Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood. Now let me explain this. It's simply this. God chose to choose you. And I believe all have been chosen from the cross of Jesus. What do you think? Now, there will be some today that are a lot smarter than your pastor, and they think they can figure out who's been chosen or who's not been chosen. Now, we at Hillview are not going to work on who's been chosen and who's not been chosen, because I'm not smart enough to figure out who's in and who's out. In fact, Jesus told me to let the wheat grow up with the tares, because basically he said I was too stupid to know the difference between the two, and that he is the great gardener and he'll weed the garden.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus told me to tell them how to be planted. Tell them how to get life. Tell them that I've chosen to choose them. Here's what it means. God had a plan before we understood the plan. God wants to be with you, but you're not the centerpiece. Guess who the centerpiece is? Jesus, His Son. He said He chose you to do what? To be obedient to Jesus Christ. To be sanctified by the sprinkling of His blood. To be forgiven. How many of y'all are glad that you've been chosen to be forgiven? That's good news. I mean, what if God said this? How would you all fare? Keaton, how would you do if this was God's rule? Keaton, if you're good, I'll love you. And if you're not, you're out. How do you fare up? You better trust him. You're right, John. You're on, buddy. Reverend Goff, soon to be Reverend Goff. One day we'll be a Reverend Goff. If God just loved you on your good works, where would you stand? What's going to happen to you? Not going to stand. Pastor Reynolds, I mean, you've been married and everything. I mean, you know. What if it's just on your good works God chose you? Are you going to be okay? We'll be in the middle of hell. You see, as pastors grow up, they get a little stronger. Have you noticed that? I can't save myself. How many of y'all have come to that point? I cannot save myself. And so God said, since I'm aware that humanity cannot save itself, I am going to do something very divine. I am going to become one of you, and I am going to open up the doors of heaven to all of you. It's very divine. But boy, don't we try to save ourselves. Come on. We work at it. If I'll just be good enough, God will love me. Guess what he's saying? I already love you. Choose to receive the work I've done, says Jesus. How many of y'all ready to do that? Say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Pour in your spirit into my flesh. How many of y'all are glad God wants to do something with humanity? But let me tell you the truth, church. We're not the centerpiece. I hate to interrupt the country song and the gospel songs that said, if I was the only one left, Jesus would have hauled himself up to Calvary. I ain't sure about that. I ain't sure about that. The cross was not activated by the plight of humanity. The cross was activated by the glory of God. Follow me. In the middle of the garden, when Jesus Christ had agony, Jesus didn't say, Lord, and I see all of them perishing. He said, Daddy, by the way, if you got plan B, I'm ready.
Amen.
And then he said these words that change all of humanity. If this glorifies you, Whatever it is, I will. You know what got us forgiven? Jesus' obedience to the Father, even when it didn't make sense.
You know what'll get you through? Take a guess.
Obedience to who?
Because here's what we know about Jesus. If I'm connected with Jesus, I'm already connected to obedience with the Father. Because what do we know about Jesus? Huh? Well, he never messes up, does he? Rabbi, I mess up. What about you?
All the time.
Me too. I mean, I love the Ten Commandments and I love our Jewish heritage. Here's the only problem. I broke all ten. How many of y'all broke at least two of the ten? Well, here's where it even gets worse. How many of y'all broke them and liked it? You know. Yeah. When God said love your neighbor, he did not mean your neighbor's wife. You see, that's the problem. Y'all hate it when I get real. Y'all look at me like, well, I can't believe you said that. Then why is there a show called Desperate Housewives where millions of people are watching it? Uh-oh. Pastor, you've gone to meddling now. I hear someone, well, that's my favorite show. No, let's really think about it. Why is it our favorite show? Midlife crisis women still acting like they're in college. Why is it our favorite show? Here's why. We want some image that looks like salvation. But guess what? We already got one. Praise be to the God and Father. He has birthed us into a new situation and loves us deeply. Amen? He's chosen us. Now, let me give you two things. First of all, God wants to be an experience in your life. And number two, God chose you. You've been picked. Go like this. Whew. Amen. I mean, God chose you before you realized he chose you. Isn't that cool? So you don't have to do this. God, me. How many of y'all been living like that, though? I mean, how many of y'all remember in the first grade when you had the answer, what did you do? I mean, I did it in college. Yeah! I wanted the professor to know that I was in class. Huh? How many of y'all did that, though, when you were in first grade? You remember, how many of y'all grunted? See, many of you were Pentecostal before you knew what that was. How many of y'all started speaking in tongues to that first grade teacher? What did that mean? Come on. That's right, man. Come here and tell them. You're an authority. Can you come up here? Look at here. When you raise your hand up there, what do you tell them to do? Killing. Pick you? Yeah, that's a pretty good thing, isn't it? Have to see, he's grinning. Yeah, pick me, man. All right, I got good news. Y'all ready for some good news? God has picked you to go to heaven. Yeah. You are qualified for a spiritual trip. You ready? Y'all go like this. If you'll go like this. And if you feel something going boom, 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 depending on how much chicken you've eaten will be the pace that it goes. Huh? If you're a human being, God wants to be in your life. God wants to be the centerpiece of your life. And God wants to be the center happening of your life. If you're a what? Human being. God's chosen human beings to go to heaven. How many of y'all are excited about that? And we can't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. I want to go over that with you because we're going to hit this. Listen, a good thing to do would be go ahead and receive Jesus today so when we go through the rest of this letter, you can go, now understand why God's going to be strong enough to get me through. Does that make sense? You got to start believing this, but then you got to activate it. We're going to show you the difference of that here in just a minute. Look at here. He says, praise be to God our Father. Guess what's happened? When you ask Jesus in your life, something happens and it's greater than you can imagine. Grace and peace be to yours in abundance. How many of you know that ought to be the attitude of followers of Jesus? Amen. Grace and peace. Guess what? I want every one of y'all to go to heaven. And I'll get you mad enough to think about it. Have y'all noticed how I really could care less about pleasing your happiness? Have y'all picked up on that? I mean, you guests have picked up. That's been new for you, hadn't it? Because usually pastors are like Mickey Mouse. Hey, how y'all doing? God bless you. Come on in. We need the attendance. But see, I learned a long time ago that attendance is not significant in the church because Van Halen has a lot more than the church.
Van Halen draws, for you older people, that's a rock and roll guy. And I guarantee you Van Halen makes more money in one of his meetings than the church does all month. Because I think the tithes are about 110 bucks a head over there, aren't they, Chris? You know. Chris Garth Brooks drew a bigger crowd in where's that place in New York, the big park up there, Central Park, yeah, huh? The big park up there, you know, huh? Garth just showed up and drew over a million. It takes Billy Graham 24 months to draw over a million. So probably drawing a crowd's not the impressive thing to God. In fact, if you really read the New Testament, he was really unimpressed with crowds. Jesus saw them, and most of the time when he saw them, I mean, you ought to have fired him as your pastor. You'd have fired Jesus. And how would you like this? You got a loved one that's passed away? I get to be Jesus. Let the dead bury the dead. Yeah, like you're going to put up with that one. Jesus saw the crowd and he walked out the back door. Jesus wasn't here to gather a crowd. He was here to change eternity. That's a much greater mission. So don't ever get caught up in the crowd. Don't ever get caught up in the ooey gooey. Look at the mission. He goes on in. He said, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new what? Birth. How many of you are glad to know that you're not what you used to be? Amen. I mean, you're not what you used to be. You have a new what? Birth. Now, how many of y'all remember your birth? You do? Really? Oh, new birth. Excuse me, let me clarify myself. How many of y'all remember being born as a human? I don't remember, but I know what happened. Now, in today's times, you were either snatched out or you went on down your first water slide trip. You came out one or two ways, right? Huh? Why do y'all look so strange in that? What it is, you get to go through a little birth canal and boom, you're here. It is for me. It wasn't for you, Mama. Now, watch this. I didn't have any pain when I was being born. But I sure know my mama was making a sacrifice. You know, Blake didn't come out and go, man, that's rough. He just kind of looked at us like, hey, I'm here. But Elizabeth looked like, thank God you're here. Clacy came out and scared us all and then hadn't stopped for 12 years. Clacy came out and just went, and it hasn't stopped. You know, watch this. I wasn't having a lot of pain during the ordeal, was I, honey? You were, but I wasn't. And our children being born weren't, but somebody had to make a sacrifice to make that happen. It was a new birth. You ladies are marvelous. And why don't we all go ahead and give all the ladies a hand for getting us here. All right? You got us here. Amen? And it was tough. I've never been to labor delivery and heard people just talking like they do in prayer groups. I've never heard a mom go, I just want to praise God for these birth pangs. And I just want to thank God that in the order of His sweet creation, He has totally tortured my womb to bring in another one of His creation. I've never heard this talk. I've heard God help me. There's a lot of Lord talk in the labor and delivery line. There's a lot of, oh my God, people are pleading to Him. There's a lot of bad things said to husbands. Scary, scary things in labor and delivery. You know, used to back in the old days, you did it right. All the men hung out and they told you what you had. It was a surprise on that date. Now we go to Lamar's class. We got to go to 6 classes to have a baby. I told Elizabeth, they've been doing this since the beginning of time. Apparently it's worked. You wait, Pastor Reynolds. One day you're going to go to one of them classes. Your big head going to be sitting there going, hee hee ha ha, hee hee hoo. And you're going to be a coach. That's what they called all the men. I could relate to that. I get in there and Elizabeth got her first labor pain. We huddled up. I said, all right, son, we're going to run a 24 dive on the second hut right here. I called the play on it. She took a deep breath. I said, hut, hut. And Elizabeth looked at me. She said, I want you to be quiet till this child is born. Out of all the things she could have asked me to do, that was the most difficult one. I said, Lord, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life, because we were all adopted in my house. It's a lot easier way. You go to Dairy Queen, get a new brother and sister. No mask.
just a really quicker way about the whole thing. Mom ain't messed up, you know. She comes home looking just like she left. It did scar me, though. I can't eat at Dairy Queen to this day. By the time we got the last kid, I said, cut the hot dogs out. I don't like Dairy Queen hot dogs. Quit bringing these things into the house. You know? New birth. Something changes in us. He says, praise be to God. We have a new birth into a living Christ. Our destiny has changed. You have been born into what? You've been born into the possibility of heaven? Absolutely. Look at here. You have been born by grace and mercy a new what? And for those of you that have had this experience, and if you're a teenager, you don't need to have this experience for a long time till after you're married. But when you have this experience, one day you're going to look in there and there's this baby. And you just look at it. How many of y'all have ever had those times you just kind of like? And it kind of looks like you. Sometimes it just looks like your spouse. See, they're helping us right now. They got new life, new lungs. I mean, I've ever looked at that, but I remember looking at our children, and I thought, I wonder what they're going to be. And then, guess what I realized? I had no idea. They were going to be what God made them to be, and that was the best prayer I could pray. You know, I wondered if Blake would play football or play the flute. I didn't know. And guess what? Either one would have been all right. Yeah. I wonder what they've done. How God was going to use them. Then I realized life's not about predicting it. It's about experiencing it. And you got to embrace what comes your way. Look at here. He goes on to say, in His great mercy, He's given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, I want you to realize this. God wants to forgive you. How many of y'all understand that? And only through God are you going to get forgiveness. And you gotta repent. Guess what that means? You gotta say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I've messed up, and I know you haven't. I know you want to forgive me and come into my life. Now listen, guys, think about this. If you got heaven and the potential of heaven, why are we so depressed? Conditioning. Church, why is the church talking about depression when we've been born into a whole different function? I'm not talking about chemical depression. That can happen no matter what. Let me be very clear. If you got misfiring transmitters, those are misfiring transmitters, and praise be to God, we got doctors that have figured out how to help that. Amen? I'm not talking about that kind of depression. I'm talking about depressed thinking from a believer. Why would a believer think hopelessly when we've been given all hope? Yeah, it doesn't make sense. We're not holding on to what we've been born into. Does that make sense? Because here's what he said. You're going to have a hope in Jesus Christ. And when death occurs to you, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Did you not see the rest of that scripture? Stored up where? In heaven. How many of y'all find that out to be pretty good news? That I'm going to be born again into a new way, a new life. I am hopeless without Christ. I am hopeful in Christ. I am dead in my sins. I am alive in Christ and ascending every day to where? Heaven. You can't buy it. You can't manipulate it. You must receive it. All right, you ready? Last point today. Jesus got to stay central. And our church, Jesus, has got to be the center. When we praise Him, guys, listen, I'm loving it. You're picking up your praise a little bit. It ought to be about Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do some things, man. When you come in here on Sunday morning, it's all about Jesus. And I think we find that here at Hillview. If not, we better get into it here at Hillview. It's about Jesus. Y'all have been so great. Guess what? Really, y'all really learned this. It's not about being comfortable. Do you know how many kingdom resources that saves because you're not a church that demands being comfortable? Do you know how much money comfort costs and how unbiblical it is? Disney World's all right. It's a nice place. You can go see the mouse if you have enough money. You can put some ears on the side of your head. And you can walk around and be the American family for a week. I did an article on the salvation of Disney.
And it's not a bad thing. I'm not knocking it at all. But for a week, you can go pretend what? Everything's okay. And then when you come back home, the reality of everyday, absolutely real life hits you. And pretending won't make it go away. That's why God said, give it up, receive me, trust me, know that I am the one that will save you. Not an image or an idea, but I am. Watch this. Disney's great. It can entertain you. Rock and roll, it can entertain you. Drugs, they titillate you. Sin, for a moment, will make you feel good. But God is the only place in Jesus Christ that you ascend into eternity. Does that make sense? That's the truth. So hard in America. What do you think our number one sin is? Come on, just throw out a few thoughts. What do y'all think? Gluttony? Greed? Pride? Adultery. I want to hit. I think everything you just told me in this little pocket here. Y'all got any sins over here? These guys are greedy, adultery. Any sins over here? Huh? Gossip? What else? Adultery? Coveting? Laziness? Pride? Tennessee pride, Video games. I love it. Now, really, what are all those things? Come on, let's break it down. Bottom line, what are those things? Absolutely, it's adultery. Yeah, and self-will is even adultery. I'm going to save myself. Now, follow me here, and we're going to the altar. I think that's the number one thing we deal with in American culture. We got so many things that get in front of God. Even when we come to church. In fact, I'm so scared that there's a whole lot of people that turn the Bible into an idol instead of a message from God. The Bible's absolutely the true Word of God, but it wasn't the Bible that was nailed on the cross. It was a literal Jesus, human flesh, dwelling in full spirit. It is He that opened the way to eternity. We already had a text. Paul said through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what the law was powerless to do, who fulfilled it? Jesus. And he's not saying that the law was a bad thing. He's saying the law was an impossible thing. The only person I know that kept the Ten Commandments, guess who it was? Jesus. That's it. But he said there's hope and to an inheritance that'll never spoil, place that'll never what? Fade, kept in heaven for you. How many of y'all ready to keep some things that are permanent? That's how God wants to love you today. He loves you that much. Let me finish. Make sure Jesus stays the center of your life. Understand that He's chosen you and He loves you. But we got to do something, church, that's very real. You got to realize that you've sinned and you're away from God and you need a relationship with God. How many understand? I need Jesus. Amen. Let me talk to you. But it's tough, and especially since we're in the South, because really what do we tell people in the South? Have you heard the gospel in the South? Really? Any of y'all ever heard this one? Well, if I'm really good, God will love me. And if I'm really bad, then God's not going to have anything to do with me. How many of y'all have heard some variation of that in the South? About three of you. A lot of you just never went to church, right? Okay. I heard that in church. How many of you ever heard this? If you smoke, God's not going to like you. If you drink, God's not going to love you. If you've messed up sexually, God's not going to have anything to do with you. Anybody ever heard that in the church? Well, that's not true. Jesus said we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And He loves us so deep that He's going to go past all that sinful junk into the heart of salvation and forgive us and restore us, bring us into a new birth with total new potential. That's the gospel of Jesus. Amen? But guess what we got to realize? We've sinned. And for some reason, we don't want to do that in America today. We all want to be victims. Can I just be real blunt? Can I be blunt? I'm going to be blunt anyway, but I'm asking you permission to be blunt, okay? Listen, you're not a victim. Cut that baloney out. I'm so tired of hearing that devil-ridden philosophy. I've got friends, man, I'm so tired of hearing them. I just wore out on them. Everything that goes on in their life is somebody else's fault. You are not that powerless. We'd have never had this nation if that was the thinking of our early foremothers and forefathers.
Well, we just got to leave because the king's been too mean to us. And King Georgie, he depresses me. And I can't even get off the boat. I'm so depressed. Because, you know, I tried to live the Puritan lifestyle, but I've fallen off of it so many times. Like, no!
You imagine a bunch of yuppies trying to find a pioneer state? How would you get your hot tub across the Cumberland Gap anyway? I mean, think about this. Lord, we can't go without our comfort. What? Creatures, these features to make me what? Comfortable. Sometimes I just like, I mean, image. We're so into image. And listen, I'm not saying these are bad things, okay? I don't like to just preach against things. I just like you to start thinking. Elizabeth and I were in Vegas, and there's just, I've never seen such shopping in my life. And it's like everybody's trying to buy an image. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Hear me very clearly. But guess what I'm saying? It'll never save you. I mean, if you've got an $800 purse, is that going to provide salvation? What does it provide? It's got to be image. Hey, I buy a little image. I don't have a Honda. But I think I can logically say there's a distinct difference in the two. Only a Harley sounds like a Harley. It looks like to me a purse is a purse. You put stuff in it. Help me, women. I know I'm on thin ice here. Huh? Somebody help me. What's the difference in a $1,200 purse and a $20 purse? Other than if you got like a $1,200 purse, you got less money to put in it than if you got a $20 purse. Somebody help me other than that. Come on, help me. Man, I saw a $595 dress shirt. Guess what it looked like to me? A shirt. It was a $595 shirt. I'm like, you can go to Walmart and buy all the shirts for that. $595, you can wear a shirt. Throw that one away. Put on a new one every day for $595. One shirt. Now, if you got one of those, I ain't saying you're going to hell. I'm just saying, why? What consumes us into this? It's only in America and Europe we do this. They don't do this in other countries. Why? They need food. Thank you. They're not going, well, I'd like to buy me a $595 shirt. In other countries, they can like build a house for that. I'm waking you up a little bit. Now, this is where we live. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, here's all I'm saying. Kind of playing with it a little bit to make you think. You got to decide where you want to come down on those issues with Jesus. But guess what? We cannot save ourselves by our image. That's all I'm saying. Y'all got that? Even in the church. We do it with churches. I've heard people say this before about our church. Well, come to Hillview and you'll get saved. That's a lie. You can come to Hillview, and if you don't meet Jesus, you're going to hell from Hillview. You say, Pastor, I feel pretty good when I'm in there. Well, big deal. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? Are your sins forgiven? Do you know what God's given you? An inheritance that will not spoil, nor will it fade. It's going to hold up because look what he says. Who through faith are shielded by God's power into the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. How many of you are glad to know? Here's what God is saying. Once you come to me, I have your security to the very last days. Is that cool? All right. Y'all ready for altar call? Did everybody learn something today? Y'all got it?
Yeah.
Y'all don't like it when I have to talk about that materialism stuff, do you? Well, let me help you. I don't like it either. But it's true. How many of y'all think I prepare sermons like this? Well, that's a little bit too rough on us. Or do you think I ask God, God, what do you want us to hear for this day? And we're going to hear it. And guess what? God always picks stuff I don't like. I wish just one Sunday he'd say, here, tell him this. It'll make everybody feel good all Sunday. And I got to talking to the Lord about that. And you know what he said? He said, Stephen Ayers, how dare you pick up my cross and be covered in my blood and want to live such a cheap life? Precious is the blood of Jesus. It'll get us through, man. It'll get us through ridiculously hard times. But we got to get to it, the salvation of God, to really experience the joy of heaven. That makes sense? And it's real. It's real. A lot of y'all have been touched by Jesus Christ. You know you're saved. That's why you're living like you're living. Others haven't been yet, but they're going to be if they'll, watch this, I kind of phrase it like this. If you'll choose to be chosen, everything's good. How many of y'all have ever gotten a credit card in the mail? How many of y'all have been pre-approved? Come on, I'm going to help you understand this. How many of y'all have been pre-approved? Don't ever activate that. That has nothing to do with salvation. That has something to do with wisdom. Yeah. Back a long time ago, like 1950, they used to call the credit card industry loan sharking. When you hand somebody money and charge them 23% interest. Now they call it business. Be careful with that one. That was free today. But how many of y'all have ever gotten one of those in the mail, pre-approved? I mean, when I was like 20, I was so proud to be pre-approved. Remember that, Elizabeth? We just paid that off a little while ago, didn't we? My pre-approved, huh? Hey, but Bart, I'm telling you, I was pre-approved. Man, I was 21. I got a gold card. I remember getting this one. I remember the first time going to Walmart. I don't have a gold card anymore for a reason, but I remember when I had a gold card. Remember those Visa cards when they were gold? I got it out. Got a gold card. My gold card said, idiot in the making. That's what my gold card said. My gold card said, disaster ahead. Yeah, you want to give somebody like me a gold card? A obsessive compulsive individual with the ability to flip and spin. Trouble is on its way. Little did I know that people made those cards for people that thought like me. And they knew they could call me because if they told me I was pre-approved. But I want to tell you a pre-approval that it really worked. God has pre-approved you for His salvation through Jesus Christ. And you got to receive it. Shane. Pastor Shane, excuse me. Pastor Reverend Shane, come over here just a minute. I picked on you, Mark, at 9:30. I want to pick on Shane for a minute. Well, you know, I think that gives illustration. Sometimes we don't ask people clearly about things. Now, folks, I want you to really understand this. How many of y'all have heard God's got a powerful message? He wants to forgive you of your sins. I think this is where we get confused. I think a lot of us think if we just accept it, then it's all finished. Would you agree with me? But watch, a lot of people believe that, Ross. I'm not saying what you believe. I'm saying people believe. Watch this. I'm going to show you how that works. Shane, do you accept that this is the Bible? Yeah. Look, I'm even going to give you some historical evidence. What does it say?
Holy Bible.
Ooh. Do you accept that it has a black cover?
Yeah.
Do you accept that it has words about Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you accept that it might even be profitable for your living?
Sure.
Give you a new life. Okay, I'll buy that.
Good answer.
That's good. So, you accept all those things. Did Pastor Shane just accept this?
Yep.
Did he accept it?
Yeah.
Now, he didn't receive it. That's where a lot of us are messed up.
We go, well, I accept Jesus died on the cross, and I accept Jesus rose from the grave. Well, so is the devil.
He was there on both accounts. But have you received it into your life? Here's where it changes.
Saying, here's what Jesus says. Ask and you will. So how would you get this, Shane?
See, Mark, he ain't a works-based faith guy like you were. I asked this on Mark. Mark came running up the stage, and I was like, sit back down. It has nothing to do with what?
Here's God's salvation message. Jesus died on a cross, and He's risen from a grave, and He said He'll forgive all of your sins. But you've got to receive it. Ask, and it will be. You've done this before with me. Good. Now look. There's salvation. That's true. Did Pastor Shane have anything to do with it? Let's start the argument of the century. How do you like a paradoxical God? Yes and no is correct. Did he have anything to do with salvation? Did he have something to do with opening his life up to receive it? Yes. So yes and no are both right. Can Shane save himself?
No.
Can you?
No.
Why?
Because
we're sinners. How do you know you're a sinner?
Don't
go on me. I got something better than me to tell you you're a sinner. How do you know you're a sinner? Okay, hold on. Let's help people. Watch. See, look, this is where we get confused. That's what the Ten Commandments are there for. They'll prove real quick to you you're a sinner. Let's start with number one. Have no other gods before me. Anybody pass? Me either. Harley God. Boat God. Football God. Blonde-haired, long-legged women, God. Only one, only one, only one. Fried chicken, God. How many of y'all got the fried chicken, God? Yeah. Some of y'all stand up. We know you got the fried chicken, God. See, you can't hide the fried chicken, God. He come out. Yeah. How about, you really want me to tell you the truth? Once you break the first one, you'll break the other nine. That's what Jesus was trying to show the rich young ruler.
Well, these I've kept.
Jesus said, oh yeah, really? Well, then sell all your stuff and come follow me. See if you know I'm God. He said, well, I can't do that. He said, it's because you hadn't kept the others either. Here's what I found, and then we're going to go right to the altar. I have found pretending that it's okay doesn't make it okay. What about you all? And I live in a world that wants to pretend everything's okay when it's not okay. And I love you all so much that I don't want any living, breathing soul in earshot of this service to stay away from heaven because Jesus has made a way. We have sinned. It's absolutely true. God has forgiven us. That's absolutely true. He died on a nasty old rugged cross so you and I could be forgiven. Why did He die? Because God said that would open a way. That's the truth. It would open a way for humanity to be connected. How many of y'all glad to know that on the third day Jesus was missing from the grave? You know why? He would like for you to be too. He would like for you to be missing from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Death, you didn't get me because of the forgiveness of Jesus. The only reason you didn't get me was what? Because of the forgiveness of Jesus. God wants you to live in that kind of life. That's our desire here at Hillview, that you find Jesus. Is that cool? Everybody cool? I think we're finished. Y'all okay? Y'all really listened well.
This is the core of the gospel, and we're going to move into many other issues, but I think Peter was pretty cool since, you know, the Holy Spirit's writing here. You got to get Jesus, and then we can go on. Make sense? Here's what you're going to find. First Peter's not going to be an easy letter, because guess what's in there? Suffering. And I've never seen a suffering conference in American church. It's always donuts there. Always centering on how I get better and not how does the kingdom expand. God has an inheritance for you. Pick it up. Let's stand together, and just as Pastor Shane received that Bible into his hand, we must receive what? Salvation. So if you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Let the Lord touch you. Y'all been beautiful today. And I just want you to pray for me. How many of y'all desire that everybody in this room end up in heaven? I mean, I'm just going to get that blunt. Man, I desire that. And there's others of you that desire that. You've given your life to that. Yeah. I want you to think. Lord, I can't save myself, but Jesus, today I've come to realize you did die for me and you do live in me. Every follower of Jesus can say that. Lord Jesus, I'm so glad you died for me, and I really praise you that you live in me. But now, you know what? If there's a single soul that's without that connection today, I want to pray right now that they receive Jesus. Amen? Young people, you might as well start following Jesus now. It's just a lot better. It'd make a whole lot of sense, since here in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to set up everything you got to live with for the rest of your life. So I'd check in with what made you. Yeah? Sound pretty smart? Okay, God, you made me. I'm going to be connected to you so I can listen to you so I can set my life in motion. Wow. That's called smart. There's a whole book called Proverbs. And guess what it basically says when you boil it down? God blesses people that use their brains. That's what it says, called wisdom. And there's not one verse in there that says, blessed are the stupid. In fact, it says, cursed are the foolish who don't listen to what God has said. Here's Jesus' promise. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. Lord, we've seen James, we've seen Alice confess their faith in Jesus today. Maybe it's our moment right now. God, how beautiful you are. God, thank you for saving us. Right now, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, or if you've sat in church all your life and never had a real, authentic experience with Jesus, you know your heart. You know your heart. Ask him right now, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I've broken your Ten Commandments and your law, but today, Lord, I believe you to be my salvation. Listen, he's hearing you. He's hearing you right now. Lord Jesus, tell him. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my what? Sins. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you've risen from the grave, and I believe you will take me all the way to heaven and keep me there. So Lord, right now I ask you into my life. If you're praying that prayer, just come on and step out gently and come on to the front. And we got pastors here that are going to pray with you. And we're going to talk about being baptized. And go ahead if you've prayed that prayer. Come on, there's absolutely no shame in that. You step out and you come forward because God's going to do great things in your life. Come on. Right now, if you just prayed that prayer, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. You come on. You begin to make your way to the front. Some of you may need to pray today, Lord Jesus, you know what? I got you in my life, but I really need to activate the fullness of what that means. And so you come today and just praise. There's others of you that have received Christ this week, but guess what? You need to go ahead and take that step and be obedient and be baptized. God wants to deal with that. Maybe some of you need to come today and say, God, I just want to praise you. I'm so glad that I am connected to you and my sins are no more and heaven is a reality and life is possible. That's a big step in Jesus. Church, I need some people to come and pray today that say this, Lord, We're going to keep our church centered on Jesus, living in the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God. And we're going to preach Jesus crucified and resurrected to our very last breath in the name of Jesus. God's looking for a church like that. I say in the name of Jesus, let's be that church. Folks, let the Holy Spirit loose in your life. It wants to be loose. I believe God can heal you. I believe He can touch you. I believe He can empower you. I believe the Bible to be true and Jesus' reality to be absolute. But you're never going to understand that till you open those arms up and receive it. Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus, who is obedient to the Father. Lord, I pray for the people that have asked You into their life, that they will begin to come forward now. Those who need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, they would come in the name of Jesus to be baptized. Those who need to be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit that's already in them, that would be released right now. God, I pray for those of us who are pure, unadulterated fakes. I've been one of those, Lord, sat in church, mimicked Your words, but never had Your experience. God, make us authentic to the experience. So right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, y'all come. And let's go to heaven together. Amen? Let's go to heaven together. Amen? Well, come on, church. The altar's open. Come.